church and being a part of setting time and your personal time for God is critical for God's presence and power to be in your life. Because listen to me, we don't have relationships in our lives because we don't invest in them. We have long-term sustainable relationships because we do invest in them. I will tell you, as a husband, every day I make adjustments in my schedule for my family's sake. Because that's what it takes to have long-term relationships. So I just want to thank you guys, honestly, tonight for being here. I just saw a poll where it says 82% of Americans consider themselves Christian. And I said, what? I said, I love the statistic. But if we go by attendance and if we go by lifestyle and if we go by the things that really earmark, unfortunately, phew. And I thought, how can you consider yourself Christian and not join in the unity of relationship with God? And that's the problem. The Lord says in the book of Deuteronomy, when a people, a family, or a nation begins to pursue me, blessing and abundance is going to fall upon everybody. I can't tell you how many Christians I have heard that are just blessed. Their parents were tithers. Their parents lived holy. And they're saying, well, I'm not going to church and I have a great job. Yeah, we need to teach them the covenant of Abraham. Remember, Levi received the blessing from his father's tithes when he was yet in his father's loins. So some of our children, unfortunately, are living out lives filled with blessing out of what we have done, yet not recognizing where they should be given the glory. But the good thing is that God will honor our covenant. God will always win. So I just want to tell you, I thank you for giving your effort to God, because I promise you right now, this city is safer. Our region is safer. People even miles from here where you live are safer because of your life, your prayers, and what you're dedicated to. I want you to know that drug addiction, suicide, murder, different things, those things will come down in the areas where we live just because we make room for God. You know, this service is for us. Our worship to God is for us. But let me tell you something. If you love your family, thank God that you're here. If you love people, thank God they're here. If you just care for kids and you want them to grow up blessed, thank God that you have made the decision to make our Father in heaven a priority for you. Amen? So tonight, I tell you what, especially as we're just a few days out from when we will celebrate the resurrection of the Savior, I tell you, this is the time to just be reverent and to be thankful because of the goodness of God and the abundance of what he's done in salvation. You know, I was so excited because I heard a young person in their 20s, and they were writing a report about, hey, I'm sitting here in this restaurant, and I'm looking out, and I'm seeing cars going everywhere, and I'm realizing that I get to eat all the time. I get to go freely where I'm going. And they said, you know, we live in a land of abundance. She said, I'm just thanking God today, she said, because I think that we take things for granted that are just amazing. And, you know, I just recently came back from the Philippines, and let me tell you something. We really have no idea of the things we take for granted. Just as a Christian, listen, you have lived in your house, and you might live in your house and go several months without even a big argument or a fight. You certainly get to live without a drunken rage and people punching you and people not coming home and all these things. Listen, we begin to take these things for granted. Don't take them for granted. Now, be thankful that it's the way it is for you, but just reverence God and just appreciate what he's done for us. Just appreciate how he has removed fear and darkness and sickness and how he's done for our children and what he's done for our household and how he eliminates just things. Just be in an abundance of God's grace. Amen? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you for your lives. Thank you for the salvation that is in you. And thank you for honoring God. You know, people are so busy. But it's just an honor to see people say, no, for me and my house, I'm going to take the time. No matter how busy I am, no matter what I got going on, I'm going to take the time to reverence him and honor him first.
Amen. Stand your feet with us tonight and let's worship.
Higher, 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 higher. Jesus, Most High, lifted up, be glorified forever. Jesus has
You're Hallelujah. Father, this is what we were born for. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your glory and we just thank you, God. Father, in Jesus' name, God, no matter what we're facing, you're with us. Lord, you were not just made for our best moments, but God, we are more so for our most difficult moments. Lord, I thank you that you never bring us back. Lord, I thank you that you are reminding us that when our circumstances and the pressures of this life get too big for us, we have to make more moves than you do. And Lord, I just thank you right now, God, and I just pray, Father, blessing upon our families, blessing upon Lord, I pray for peace and strength over our household and family. God, right now, I declare that in this community, Lord, in every community in which we live, God, I declare your blessing. Lord, I declare your word, Father, I repent of the sin, Lord, God, the things that we do as individuals and even as a nation, that would not be pleasing, and Lord, I just pray God, that your blessing and your eye of God would be upon us, God. We get to where we live, it will be upon our nation, God, upon our cities and our states, God, and Lord, I just pray that, Father, in this time that you, God, you have your eyes upon us. Lord, there's no mistakes with you, God. We are born and we look for this time, Father. Lord, when you look at this time, you destined each one of us, God. The time zones in which we've been born, the time zones in which we're living, you destined us, God, because this earth is in desperate need as we are as a people transformed by your presence. Now, Lord, I thank you, God, as we step into celebrating the time that we symbolically celebrate the death, resurrection, and the greatness of our Lord and Savior. Father, we just thank you. God, we just declare your goodness, Father. Lord, I thank you that you will make not just our best moments, God, but even more so for our most difficult moments, God, and your happiness. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, give the Lord a hand.
Thank you.
right place ready. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to do this celebrating. Just to be able to celebrate. What's that even? Celebrate who the real is. I just had to say that because I want us to have the right mindset. I mean, that was easy to hear. But in our eagerness, sometimes when we start a journey, we have to make room for God. We have to make room for what we don't see and what we don't know. I want you to know that sometimes there'll be journeys that we can't come from the honest issue. Some of us would never have started if we would try everything it would take to get where we're going. And I'll tell you what, God knows what that is. And God knows what we must face. But I just thought it was a great perspective because I tell you what, it's very nice to get something down and put all that because we get here and we look up after 6 months and the water breaks here, all of a sudden, it's going to be late. See what I'm saying? And I told him, I said, well, I'm glad that they're going to still find it in there. He said, well, I'm going to do something. I'm probably going to be pretty nitpicky about the word destiny because I want to make sure we're stewards over God's money and we want stuff done right. Amen? So let's have a sense of urgency, but also let's have the patience. You know, we were talking about this building sat here in the building. God, you have walked into the resource training group. There was no last year. And I've got to tell you something. God resurrected this place so that we could get changed this time. Amen? So even though we're excited about our future, let's not despise our beginnings. Let's appreciate what God's done up here. Right? And let's have peace in the journey to the next stage. Amen? Amen? Where's your Jesus thing?
Yeah, that's right. So when that was my understanding, that Jesus was a gift, and what that moment was, and how God was going to be praying for the
people. You keep reminding of the moment of heaven. I know that you're not just thinking about how many Christians, you know, don't get me wrong, we lost some. We lost a lot of people. But I can tell you, there was just so many stories of Christians who said, man, this it sounds crazy, doesn't it? To stand up and just say, God, Jesus, and I think people think it's so natural. And how much strength is it in to say, no, God, but he's what God wants me to do. And look how many lives are saved because he's what he did. So I'm just saying that sometimes things may not come just the way you pray. Because you can agree with God being just to be in that issue, or that he doesn't mistake, or maybe this is too big, or if I was too big. Rest and let God fill in what you need to say. Amen?
I just
Now, I want to know that I didn't know this, but that's going to be our offering message as well as our dismissal from the field. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, go ahead. Let the kids go to class. No, no, no. You guys are ready to come down to pray. No, no, no. You guys are getting tired. But I just want to speak this for a minute. I want us to do this. I want us to do this. You know, I want you to think about this. John has a background where he knows what it's like to work on stuff. And understanding that part of these revelations come from others of us who may not know what it takes to be able to do stuff. But I tell you what, all of us know what it's like to adjust learning something and then not make adjustments to let it be what's right because it takes longer and what it will take to. So I want you to know that yes, let God show you what's there and let's be patient. And I'm not forcing it. I have to listen. I want to talk to everybody together as fast as possible. And I'm telling them that it doesn't take to be stupid. And I have plans that it won't. But at the same time, if it did take a few months longer, maybe if you did it, I'd rather be able to be patient with what kind of works is going to be. Amen. Father, you just became your blessing. Lord, right now, I thank you, God. I'm thinking of times when I was delayed in the journey or delayed somehow, God. And it ended up being better for me and better for the people around me. And God, I just want to pardon that. In our personal lives right now, people who are having to make adjustments, people who are having to work on things, people who thought that they would be promoted by me, a project would be finished by me, something would have changed in the relationship of the child by me. Father, I pray that they would have patience in the storms of life, recognizing that your time and your community never changed. I want you to know that there is a young man that just came up here and gave an offering, and he's visiting with us today. His name is Doug Wynn. And I want you to know that Doug Wynn has known the deal of it for 20-something plus years. Hallelujah. He was there when the church got saved a couple of years ago after we were first saved. And he's the guy that talked to me and said that I can go camping on vacation. So I'm just telling you that Doug has always been a sign to us of blessing. And lots of times when we've been in our first experiences or something, he's around. And what's so interesting is now that we've been talking for a year or two, if not more, about him wanting to come and visit with us. And we've actually, he's been saying, you know, I want to come, but anytime something happens. So I think it's amazing that we've had breakthrough and stuff tonight, we're going to give a few minutes for that because I want to really speak to us tonight on something that I want you to grab a hold of. And I want you to know that. How many of you guys are saved in here today? So every one of us that is sitting here, you have to take accountability and responsibility that you are not a new man. That's not my words, that's the Bible. The Bible says, fit ye like me. Speaking to the church. Church, stop! Quit pretending and quit telling yourself like regular humanity. It's no longer who you are. You're a brand new creature in Christ. And God is challenging us because if we're not careful, just because we can't see what's really done on the inside of us, we can look in the mirror and see something no different than what we saw 20 years ago or before we were saved. But if we could see in the Spirit, we would see a light and fire inside of us that shines so bright that God could see you have it. Who in you is the hope of glory? Jesus. Hey, come on now. This is what we don't recognize is that just because we can see in the natural world, I promise you that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness sees who you are, and that angels reverence who you are, and the devil is terrified of who you are. We don't even live like that. We don't even think like that. So we're going to give you a scripture that tonight we're going to shape ourselves as Christians, and we're going to speak to ourselves. We're going to stay stagnant. I want you to hear what the scripture is. And if the scripture is saying something about you, who is saying it? If this scripture is saying something about us, who is saying it about us? Hallelujah. I'm going to start speaking to you about the unity of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to reveal to you what they are saying about you. And what they are saying about you is true. And if you look at what is said about you, and you're not handling your life like that, it is your choice to change and accept what God's opinion is. Remember, we read a story about a young man named Gideon. The Philistines were beating up the Israelites, taking anything they wanted. Gideon was hiding upstairs in the wine press, trying to scare out his wheat, asking where is the God of miracles, and just whining about his faith and just feeling pathetic. I'm the poorest and the least in my father's house. I'm not this, I'm not that. And an angel came from heaven and focused on the same Gideon who was carrying himself and delivering himself and letting the life overtake him that never had authority over him. And Gideon just beat himself up. You can't be talking to me, I'm going to use everything. You just did my father's poor house. We're already poor and bad off. And out of all the people that are in that situation, I'm the worst. And the angel said, hey, I have commanded with directions from the Father to look at you and tell you who you really are. You are a mighty man of God. In fact, not only are you a mighty man of God, but you're God's instrument to the defeat that you and your family are experiencing. See, none of us right now, we will look to Jesus, and we will look to God from a distance. And we'll put everything in their hands instead of recognizing that the Lord said, put heaven on the rest of us. That the Lord said, it is finished. I've done my part, and now I'm available to you. Is everything that I've released to you so that you can live victoriously over time? Well, God, what about you? What are you doing? I'm counting on you. It's easy for us to believe in God. The hard part is believing that God believes in you. But if God didn't believe in you, you wouldn't be living in victory. God doesn't make this way. When you were born in the enemy, there were so many other opportunities for God to rip a DNA structure together. And instead of having Steve, we could have God. Instead of having Steve, we could have Michael. But God wasn't looking for Michael. He was looking for Steve. And while he was throwing money, he said, whoop! There he is. And he grabbed you and said, come on out, Steve. And I want you to know that when we met at the category of good, great, and blessed people that are alive today, I want you to know that God is looking at these fellowship and telling you to be the best. Did you ever ever preach the gospel? Loudly. God is just because you've never thought of that before, it's just right. Even though the doctor said, this is what it is, it's still getting better, the only thing that makes it, the doctor said, no, God, no. I'm not going to change myself. I'm not going to let my guard down and start confessing what it's best to complain against God. That's going to happen right here. I know that I've been doing my best for you. I know that I made the best decision that I can make. So right now, and because of that, quickly his circumstances change. But I want to just declare to you out of Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, there's a challenge here. Let's look at verse 10. It says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen to this. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and that all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now, listen, if we receive this naturally, we will miss what God is really saying. See, I want you to know that on Thursdays, we're going to be talking about the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the purposes and the anointings and the benefits and the promises that are part of your life. And what I want you to see here is that the writer is declaring that you and I, in our salvation, has been strengthened with our mind by his glory and in all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. See, that declares to us as Christians that even in the toughest moments of our life, if we choose, this is what's been released to you, and this is what you've been empowered with. But your choice to live in your life. You can grab a proper thought and position. Have you ever been so angry that you got out of that situation and said, I should have done this, or I could have done this, or you had all these thoughts after a stressful moment of things you would have liked to say, did, or done? But guess what? If you had been an instant in season and out of season, you would have heard the answer. But thank God you came back. Thank God you came back. God is still saying you've got to put it up and readjust. And it costs a little more time. But thank goodness that you did come back to yourself. But what would happen if we would just have the mind back? That today I went away. Even within this day that I cannot see, God has already prepared for me, and there is help. Here's what I really want you to see. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or caused us to be complete, or has perfected us in a way that now we are qualified, and now we are able to, and now we are empowered to. That's what this word means. Says now we are empowered, able, qualified, and now we have already the ability to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We have the right to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in life. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I want to talk to you today because lots of Christians right now on this earth still believe that the devil has more authority. Lots of Christians still believe that the demonic realm and spirit have more What about angels? What about men? And their spirits are saying, they have power and authority, but we have power and authority that reaches beyond the power of them. So when we study this theme because of this whole truth, as Christians, so many times we don't get the urgency to quickly equip ourselves with what we need. So here's an example of what I want to know right now. In the natural, we live in a state where we have a right to have a concealed carry, isn't it? In rather, and there's lots of people who take advantage of that. But here's my issue. I love the right to have a concealed carry. I want you to have it. It belongs to you. You don't have it. But here's my issue. Too many people are much more prepared in the natural than they are in the spirit. I make it possible, God is saying, for you to be partakers right now of an inheritance that belongs to heaven, but it belongs to you on this earth. That's why the Bible says, let the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, sickness and disease, does that rule in heaven? Does it even exist in heaven? So why don't we realize it down here? Is there violence in heaven? Why don't we realize it down here? Is there hope, pain, lack of love, is there discouragement, anger, depression, brokenness in heaven? So why don't we tap into our right and our authority to minimize it down here? Amen? Why wait to help the heaven to access what you can imagine? Now, let's talk about that. When we get to heaven, we will have so much patience, long suffering, joy. We will be so excited and just giving praise, and everything will be in Jesus' spirit, joy, hope, however that looks like. Won't be good. But why are we doing it this way? Could alleviate some of the stress and hardship and discouragement and depression that saddens our lives when it comes to this. Woo! Right now, I want to pray all the things in the Holy Ghost, but you guys probably might not get the interpretation, so I better just keep speaking and understanding what we're doing right now. In Ephesians chapter 6, you know this scripture, but I really want you to look at it a little differently. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I've got a question for you. And I'm going to bring this down on the back shelter right now. If you were going to go hunting somewhere, or fishing somewhere, or if you were going to go hammer something together, or if you were going to go wash dishes, And each of those activities, there are some things that you have to carry or bring with you or have available to have victory in that situation. And if I came in your house or if I came into the kitchen and I said, help me, I'm going to wash all these dishes for you. But I'm not turning up the water and I didn't buy you this stuff. No, you have a right to carry a big alcohol rifle, and you can shoot something like 300 yards. Are you really going to take a bigger one? No. Steve is going to go and find us some equipment. Even if we got to go to school, Steve is going to buy one and say, Pastor Phil, I'm going to be right there, that rifle right there, whether you got 273, whatever you want, 303, whatever you want to do. What would you do? Oh, a 308. You should be the pastor, Philip. It's going to be good. And oh, by the way, I know you have a satellite, so I'm going to buy you this special skirt that encapsulates 08. Satellite. I'm going to say, Steve, maybe buy it for me. It'll be by then. And I said, I was just buying it in Steve's direction. I'm going to have to get away with it. But anyway, what I'm getting is that skirt is going to say, this will be easy for you because you can either balance it on your tripod or get that red dot on there, and you're going to see how to go. Once you see that red dot, you're going to see it, and you're going to be busy. Amen? It is so quick and easy for us in the natural sense to be prepared to go to work, to go to this, to take pictures, to take care of the kids, go to the kids. I mean, when a baby comes, it's not like you're going to deal with it for the kids at home, not the kids. We might need diapers. You have diapers and other factors. You might have one, but it's one of the things you're going to work with. If the baby comes, you don't need diapers for the water. So here's what my question is. Can the Christians in moments of difficulty can even reach to the soul because they have gotten away with it? Can the Christians have not discovered their identity so when God comes out and guess what? They don't even have the spirit of the spirit. This world and what it says about you has got to become a treasure to us. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that I expect you to be able to give me chapters and verse, but I am telling you that it should be resident in you what the word says about you. Jesus made it easy. Jesus could have quoted any chapter, any verse that he wanted to. But just to show you when the devil was speaking to him directly, in his presence, trying to take him here and there, Jesus said, devil, I'm telling you, according to John 3:16, devil, I'm telling you, according to Genesis 1:28, no, he didn't say that. Devil, I'm telling you, it's written. I know in my heart that the scripture says. Okay, let's fight. If you couldn't make yourself better, He says that you're going to fight God, but God doesn't have a hand. Why would a Christian say, I'm going to live this life, I'm walking with you, but I'm not going to take any sort of God who's given me, I'm just going to use my own hand, my own self-pleasure, and my own hand. When you have a right to see beyond the natural, why would you take that? When you have a right to see beyond the natural, why would you do it? And when you have a right to speak beyond the limits of your faith, why would you speak? See, we have to take the responsibility to know that God is with us. In the natural, what you see is trouble, experiencing a physical issue. But I want you to know that what's behind that physical issue is the personal Satan that's been on your life for 2 years. And because Jesus is able to see beyond the natural and get to the root of that issue, it's the word of God. So thank you, God, giving me so much spirit to share with you today. And I happen to be last night having to be a person back to the end of the day. And yes, you were sitting there. Remember, I think I told you this story about a woman who was in the hospital. She'd been there 21 days in a coma, not able to eat, in a trachea, not able to breathe. They called me and said, could you guys come and pray? Doctor, and the doctor knew nothing about it. I said, what's been the diagnosis? They said, they have tried everything and they can't find it. And I was praying in the parking lot with my friend and my sister. And while I was praying in the Holy Ghost, the Lord said, it's a spirit that is silent. And I said, God, what does that mean? He said, sometimes there are oppressions that will come upon people that create physical problems, but they have a spiritual root. So doctors can lift and check and bring report after report after report and say, I don't see anything. So I went to that man's family to him. Yeah. He was even really calling to me. Yeah. No, Pastor, he has way less than no hair, just like this. So you're a good example. He said, there's a little red here. But I walked up and I said, hey, how are you doing, sir? Come off of her in Jesus' name. And I said, okay, but I'm telling you now, you believe God, this is coming on. And as soon as I prayed that way, I'm telling you that her eyes for the first time on that voice and it came into faith. By the way, that's really the first thing I saw. The doctor said, oh, I don't know what happened. They went to put it back in there. I said, whoa. He's really doing it wrong. Let's not put that thing back in. But the way she's up, waiting for a week or two, she came in and said, come on, man. And I said, oh, my. She said, you don't even know who I am. You don't know who I am. She said, this is me. I know you. And I prayed for her. She had been there a few, 3 weeks about it. And so she was something crazy. But we never finished it like she did when she was standing there standing still. But what would have happened if I had just looked at her? Father, Lord, we all thank you that right now you're calling us, God, to see the end of the day, to be